The first reading today, I think, is one of the most difficult passages of the Bible, the call of Abraham to offer his son of Isaac in sacrifice. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us wonder why it's included or what God is doing here, or maybe even just to have doubt enter into our reflection on it. But I think if we look at just a few points, we can maybe a little better understand what's going on here. You know, there's much more that could be said about it. But to kind of get an understanding of how to approach this passage or other difficult passages in the Bible. I think it makes us uncomfortable for a number of reasons. One, that it reveals an aspect of the mystery of God. This calling that we only see one step in the journey and not how it will get to the end or why this particular one could be considered by God. You know, what is God thinking? What's going on here? These thoughts can come to mind. That God transcends us, which in a sense gives us hope, that we hope God is not limited in the same way we are. You know, it wouldn't be God if he was. But that it's challenging for us to see that mystery. To remember, though, that yeah, we want something obvious, clean cut, and parts of the scriptures are, you know, part of the times, you know, Christ explains something, other books of the Bible, you know, are more teaching in that way. But other ones like this one that I think highlight the mystery are there for reflection, for meditation. To remember that not all scriptures are just that straightforward instruction book. It's not intended to be like that, but that instead it's intended, I think, to have these places that have these depths for reflection and meditation beyond just a simple, clear-cut explanation that we kind of is more comfortable for us. The second, I think it's uncomfortable because the context isn't always there. The context takes work. The context takes understanding. And without that context, we kind of can supply other contexts that are not, I think, in keeping or are true to it, but would be very problematic. I think for us, when we look at this, we can see this in connection very much with the gospel today, the transfiguration. Jesus being transfigured, being able to see what lies beneath that human nature that is apparent to them, the divine nature, seeing Moses and Elijah present with him. And those are very significant figures, that Moses is the author of the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, the lawgiver, representing that aspect, you know, the Jewish tradition. Elijah, one of the key prophets. That these two, the law and the prophets, is a phrase used in the Jewish times to refer to what we call now the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, referring to all of those books. So that Jesus appearing with Moses and Elijah is a showing of something that St. Augustine, I think, puts well. He says that the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. In other words, that the New Testament is hidden in the Old means that the events of the Old Testament have hidden within them the events of the New Testament that are preparing for them, that are giving signs, that are prefigurements for them. That there is God working through them to prepare the way to see what will happen in the New Testament. And then to say that the Old Testament is revealed in the New is to say that with understanding what was hidden, we can understand better what is meant by some of these passages. So how can we understand this call of God, of take your only son, you know, Abraham, take your only son whom you love and offer him in sacrifice? How can we understand that without understanding that Christ would enter into that, that God the Father would offer his son to enter that, that Christ would freely choose to enter in, or that the phrase where Isaac asks, Father, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide the ram. How can we understand that without understanding what will happen with Christ? To understand that, in fact, God stops Abraham from offering this, that he's teaching that this is not how it will go, asking us to offer something like that, but offer saying, you know, that God himself will be the one that provides that reconciliation. That, again, it's difficult because without that context, there are many other contexts that could be there. But in the more that we can see those connections between the Old and New Testament, the better that we can comprehend the difficult passages. And finally, I think a third reason that this can make us uncomfortable is that aspect of trust, that fear of blind faith, that fear of entering into a relationship that isn't based on any sort of reason or knowledge or logic, but can just be all these different things. That when we look at that aspect of trust, we can remember that this was not Abraham's first encounter with God, that this wasn't the initial step, that there are all these other signs with Abraham's own life, but even in the generations before him, of giving us confidence in God. We look at other people. We can see confidence in the way that God guided them, in the lives of the saints, in other people that we know. To know that it's actually not, I think, for us a blind faith. I think the blind aspect of it is misleading to people. To say that, no, it's a faith that's founded on a relationship that's existed before. It's founded on a relationship that God is trustworthy and has worked. That we're not the first person that God speaks to. That we can have a confidence in God. That that plan that we don't understand is a plan and not just folly or some sort of unintelligible journey. So for these different reasons, again, all these difficult passages can make us uncomfortable. But when we see them this way, we can enter into, I think, what's the fruitful way to read these passages in the light of faith. To know that our faith is something powerful, you know, that as we speak about trusting in it, that it might be the only voice in our life that's not just echoing the common wisdom of the culture. It might be the only voice in our life that's pointing out problems in cultural wisdom, things that are kind of assumed without a real foundation. That again, that can be difficult for us, but it can be that path to life. That during this season of Lent, let's ask the Lord to deepen our trust, to deepen that confidence that the path that God leads us in is the path of truth and freedom.